federal government has taken over. You know, there was one time I threw out the term, there's been a CIA coup. It's a secret government. We don't know what they do. The Congress doesn't know what they do. They rig elections, they start wars, and they have a lot of power. And even now, 70-80% of the American people believe that possibly, you know, the CIA was involved in the murder of Kennedy.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
Whether your plan is to bug out or bug in, CampingSurvival.com has all of your preparedness needs, including fish antibiotics, long-term storage food, water filters, bug-out bags, and first aid kits. Use coupon code PREPPERRECON for 5% off your entire order at CampingSurvival.com.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Today's guest is Paul Munson of SunOven.com. Paul, welcome back to the show.
Oh, great to be with you again. Thanks so much.
Oh, absolutely. We did a great webinar last week. You just gave us so many great tips on things to do with the Sun Oven, which is definitely one of my favorite prepper tools now, because it's so practical, easy to use. It's lightweight. It's 22 pounds. You grab it, pull it off. I've got it sitting on my shelf in the garage. I just grab it and literally it's like 10 seconds to set up. You just pull the flaps and boom, you're ready to start cooking. Of course you can let it preheat if you want to, but it's a fantastic tool, and the webinar you did with us last week was just fantastic and so much information. I didn't know until the webinar that you could boil eggs just in the cardboard carton until we did that. Just fantastic. Now, tell us, when did you first wake up to the need to prepare?
Well, I frankly had been concerned about Y2K, and we were involved. I've been making Sun Ovens now for over 17 years, and so we were involved with some Y2K preparedness, and it was kind of ironic because I learned a lot about preparedness at Y2K, and then having a business that grew amazingly quick, and we started in business in mid-1998. In 1999, we had a huge sales, and then in 2000, our business went down to next to nothing, and we were more than bankrupt for a few years there, and I couldn't take a paycheck from Sun Oven, and all the preparedness that I had for Y2K, I actually wound up consuming during the time when I wasn't able to make a living selling Sun Ovens. So I saw, even though it was a strange effect, I actually needed to use all my Y2K preparedness things because of some personal economic issues. But then I started to really think it was actually in 2008. I was doing a project in Kampala, Uganda, and as I during the fall of 2008, and I could see get BBC television there, and was watching what was happening at that time when Lehman Brothers closed down and AIG closed down and the stock market took a huge crash, and it was like being on the other side of the world in a third world country watching the U.S. seemingly fall apart economically hour by hour. Every time I get back to my hotel and get to see a TV, I was just blown away by all that was going on being halfway across the world. And it was from that I realized that, hey, I really have to get back going. And that's when my wife and I decided that we would make emergency preparedness a major priority in our lives. And so we've been doing it now for about the last 7 years.
And back when we first had you on the show, it was back when Jonathan Kahn had first really come out with the mystery of the Shemitah. And, you know, he had explained, well, every 7 years in the Jewish cycle, God has the Shemitah, which is a period of of it under Jewish, under the old Jewish law, which we're under the new covenant now, so we're not really under that. But under that old system, every 7 years, you were supposed to let the land lie fallow, and people were supposed to have debts cleared and all of that in the Jubilee year, and he had this whole system set up and timeline set up for that, and it's something that could be a blessing for an obedient nation, and for a disobedient nation, it could be something that could be considered a curse. And he started doing some research on that, and he found that all of the stock market crashes have been in Shemitah years. More specifically, 2008, the beginning of the Great Recession, that began on Shemitah of 2008, and that was the day that the market lost 777 points, or a 7% decline, and has marked the beginning of the Great Recession, which, you know, many would argue, despite what the government's telling us about the employment numbers, we still really haven't come out of that. And then, of course, 7 years prior to that, the 2001 Shemitah was 9/11. And of course, when the markets reopened after that, we lost 7% as well. So he's saying, you know, I don't know anything specific that's going to happen this September 13th, which is the Shemitah this year. But giving the track record of what the last two Shemitahs have brought, and if those Shemitahs were God trying to give us a warning to wake up, to turn back to Him, to turn away from our sins, and looking at the headlines, looking at what's going on with Planned Parenthood, looking at what's going on with the redefinition of marriage and our government putting themselves in the place of God, you know, if we didn't wake up with that degree of shaking, of the 7% loss, of the towers coming down, if that didn't do anything to wake us up, what might He have in store for us this September? Do you have any specific expectations for this coming fall, or are you just trying to be prepared for anything?
Well, I guess, I mean, you know, I had been watching this for the last, probably just about a year. Our mutual friend Jim and I had a long conversation about this last September, and we started really then kind of watching it from afar, but together. And, you know, probably midsummer, I can't remember an exact date, but one day as I was in prayer, and I'm not one who's big on feelings, and I'm not one who responds to, you know, reactions or feelings, so it's not something that's a regular occurrence, but I had actually thought, well, the last two have had a really significant effect, a positive effect on the sale of Sun Ovens. And the Holy Spirit just convicted me tremendously that I was looking at only an economic issue and only looking at, well, if the same thing happens as has happened the last 7 year cycle, then it's really going to actually be a boom to something like the sale of Sun Ovens. But the Lord just convicted me terribly that each one gets worse. And if you go back and you look at Judah in the Old Testament, and they would go through cycles of warnings, repentance, but each time it got worse and worse. There'd be droughts, there'd be their enemies invading them, there'd be different things that would wind up occurring. And I think that we're going to see what exactly, I don't know, whether it's going to be a man-made disaster from something like ISIS, whether it's going to be something that's a natural disaster that God chooses to bring about in the United States. I have no idea, but I really think that the reality is it's going to be a lot more severe than just an economic fall off like occurred 7 years ago, and there was obviously the serious situation with the Twin Towers 14 years ago, but then the economic mayhem that occurred after that. And I can remember so many people 7 years ago, you know, the stock market lost a third of its value, almost evaporation, and many people who had their money tied up in retirement accounts saw their retirement accounts, just a third of it, just disappear and almost overnight. But I think that we really need to be prepared that it could be a lot more serious than that. And I think God has given us as a country warning after warning after warning, and We've just chosen to ignore it and get further and further away from him as a nation. And I've felt for many, many years as I've studied different things that the reason that a God allowed the United States to be a country that was unprecedented. I do a lot of international travel, spend a lot of time in third world countries. And when you go around the world, I can remember one time traveling with somebody from Ethiopia and showing him downtown Chicago, and he was just amazed. And he says, you know, for such a young country, it's just so amazing. Of course, Ethiopia's been around since way before Solomon, and he couldn't believe how much we developed. And I think we did develop. God allowed us to develop as a nation. God made us into an economic and military superpower for one reason, and that was to empower Israel. And we were able to help Israel in many, many, many ways. When you read about even what Truman did when Israel was founded as a nation in the 1940s, all that occurred, it's just an amazing thing to see how God put us in place, allowed us to become a military and economic superpower, and how much we were able to help Israel. I think today Israel probably surpasses us in certain military and intelligence things, and I think Israel has got given resources, and the Bible tells us that it does, that it's amazing to see, you know, what's happening in Israel in virtually every area. But even what we're considering right now and all of the things you mentioned are horrific and terrible in our own sin, but just as the covenant God made with Abraham that he would bless those who bless him and curse those who curse him, and we're now trying to put in place a treaty that is, we may as well say, is a treaty to destroy Israel, and we're going to turn over to Iran billions of dollars that have been sanctioned for a long time to allow them to pretty much use it to destroy Israel. And they haven't been quiet about it, and they haven't tried in any way, shape, or form to say that's not what they're going to do. They continue even through the negotiations of this treaty to say how much they want to destroy Israel and the United States. So I think that as we look at the handwriting on the wall with our sin is terrible, but we've been protected even through just falling into deeper and deeper sin month by month and year by year. We've been protected as a nation by God because of what we've done for Israel, but it sure appears that we're turning our back on Israel. So I think this cycle of judgment with that alone will be much more severe than what we've seen in the warning signs the last two Shemitah years.
And then we've really been focusing on Shemitah readiness. I've even put out a Shemitah readiness checklist that we put one together for our family, and we've been trying to focus on that for the show. And I guess since we moved, one of our big things was our big prepper project last year was getting out of Fort Lauderdale, which was just a really post-collapse environment already almost. So that was our big prepper project. So once we got out of there and got in our new house, one of the main things we've been focusing on is food and water. Are those two items pretty high on your list?
Yeah, I mean, I did the same thing. I lived in a suburb of Chicago up until, well, next week will be exactly 2 years, and I moved 60 miles west of Chicago into a farm community where my nearest neighbor is three-quarters of a mile away, and we've been focusing on food and water. We've taken more and more of our own grown foods right now. We're doing an awful lot of canning and storage to make our own food storage to supplement the freeze-dried and dehydrated foods that we have, and concentrating on it and working now on trying to get a retrofit on our well to be able to use it without electricity because we see water. So we're concentrating, and sounds like our paths are pretty similar. We left the city and moved way out in the sticks to be as far away as possible and be self-sufficient, and hopefully with the land we have and the supplies we have, if God chooses to spare us from whatever might be coming, we'll be able to be prepared.
And Paul, as you know, there are folks who have been thinking about getting ready for years. We're now literally in the final hours before Shemitah, which is this September 13th. And we've got folks deciding now it's time to take action. Where do they start?
Well, I think that the first place to start, quite frankly, is spiritually. And I think that if anybody is looking at facing what's going to come, the most important place to start is to make sure they're in a right relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is by far the most important first step. But in addition to that, from the standpoint of things that we need to do to try to be prepared, I would say that start by having food for, if you don't have food stored, and think about food storage without using a refrigerator, food storage without using your freezer. Look at trying to have food stored initially. If you don't have any stored for a long period of time, then store it for a week. And then go to 2 weeks and 3 weeks, go to a month, whatever you can afford to do. We put together, we've been doing that for years, we just actually have been accumulating a list now of what you might consider luxury items, things like toiletries. I mean, you know, we're looking at having a 3-month supply of toilet paper now and a 3-month supply of toothpaste and mouthwash and deodorant and things because we've been preparing for a while. But start and take a look. What do I absolutely need to survive if I had nothing? And start with whatever period of time you can to be ready and have those items available. Food and water is the biggest thing, but obviously with Sun Ovens, we're concerned with the idea of how would you cook the food, or if your water supply is something you're gathering, how would you take care of boiling it or pasteurizing it, and looking at supplies of that nature as well. And it's a matter of, you know, we oftentimes get so busy existing that we don't sit down and think of what do I use today. Take a couple of hours and look at everything you use today and say, if I was without this, how long could I survive? And is there any way I would be able to get it or barter it if I wasn't able to have it? And then start preparing and getting ready. If you are looking at food storage, I can't tell you the number of people who just think, well, food storage means you take a package and you buy a package that someone tells you that this is enough meals to feed a family of four for, you know, such a certain period of time. But realize that if you're not cooking with your food storage, if you're not familiar with your food storage, and you need to know what's a realistic serving for your family, what is it that your family will eat, what will work. Sure, you could survive for a certain period of time on things you don't like, but the reality is that if you're not cooking with your food storage and you're not able to then be ready to know what your family will eat, what they won't eat, what you need to increase or decrease. Do you need to have things to possibly, do you need more salt or more sugar or things to possibly enhance the taste of it? But all of that's important because so many people think of preparedness as just throw a whole bunch of stuff on a shelf and then hope you don't need it. But if you don't make it part of your lifestyle, even in the next, you know, few weeks, start using it, get familiar with it, so that if you have to use it, you know how to make it and you know how to make the food you're storing to your family's taste.
It's time for a quick break, and we'll be right back. The dollar's lost over 90% of its purchasing power since 1971. Silver, on the other hand, has proved to be a very stable form of wealth preservation over the years. And where do you buy silver? Silver.com, of course. Silver.com offers fantastic prices on silver and gold. Now, other people have been diligent over the past few months, and you know, they've really been getting on the ball and getting in with the food storage. What's some good food storage tips you wish somebody would have told you when you were first starting out?
Probably the single biggest thing was when I was first starting out was the idea of don't just take someone's word on portion sizes. Make sure you really know how much food you've got based on what you or your family is going to consume, because You know, there's portions that can keep you alive, but there's a big difference between that and being able to be comfortable with food. So that's the one thing that I think is extremely important. And then the other tip that I wish I had known when I was first starting out is the taste of foods. Sometimes you buy foods based on the price and what appears to be a bargain, but make sure it's something you're really going to be willing to eat. So that's where sampling the food comes in. And we changed our philosophy at Y2K. We just got anything, figured it wouldn't make any difference. But then when we wound up consuming it over a period of time, we realized, boy, some of the stuff is terrible. Some of it is really good, and some you can mix with other things you have and make it taste really good. But being sure that you have food that you really will be able to eat and really will be willing to eat is important, not just based on what the label says it should be able to do for you.
And name five cheap or inexpensive foods that store well that you like and that you use.
Well, I mean, we've been doing a lot lately with, we live in an area, my whole property is surrounded by corn that we're blessed with rain in the spring. So I've got 12, corn that's, 8 feet tall around me. And we've been just storing, canning corn, freezing corn, doing corn like crazy the last several weeks because we've had an overabundance of it. As we're starting now to have a lot of tomatoes, what we're doing for food storage is that we're doing a lot of dehydrating or making sun-dried tomatoes. And so the tomato crop is coming in. We're sun-drying it with our electric dehydrator as well as with our sun oven and making sure that we have a lot of tomatoes that we can add to a lot of our prepackaged food storage if we had to add a little bit of taste and nutrition. And we also have a fairly good size orchard with a number of pear and apple trees, and so we've been taking our pears and putting them into kind of a cold storage situation so that we'll be able to have fresh fruit even in the winter if we wind up needing it. But also by having the pears and apples, we can make some of the foods that may not taste as good as we wanted to. We can add those items to it to improve the taste of it as well as the nutritional value of it.
And then last week, between me and another family that's in our prepper group, we put up 110 pounds of pork. We canned it. So besides corn, do you can anything else?
We haven't been canning meat yet. I mean, we are going to be canning. We've got a lot of as we're getting now closer into the fall, we'll be we've got a huge squash patch, and we're going to be actually doing some canning of the squash. We're going to be doing a lot with applesauce with our apples and things of that nature. So to be frank, the sales of Sun Ovens the last 3 months have skyrocketed, and I'm working all the time. So my wife is doing almost everything at home, and she has a really organized plan, and I probably should be more diligent in looking at what she's doing, but I've been at work 12, 14 hours every day and haven't been paying as much attention as I should be to what my wife is storing and doing.
And what you just mentioned, you're dehydrating tomatoes. You could also do apples, right? You could do dehydrated mm-hmm. apples.
Right. You can dehydrate apples. They turn out real, real well.
And give us a couple of good dehydrating recipes that we could use with the Sun Oven.
Well, with the Sun Oven, depending on what you've got, I mean, sun-dried tomatoes are pretty simple. You just slice them, cut them into slices. If you take and put them in the Sun Oven and put them on a piece of parchment paper, generally it takes about 5 hours to sun-dry tomatoes, and then you can just put them into, once they're sun-dried, you can put them in plastic bags and seal them, or you can put them into canning jars and seal them, and they'll have a really long shelf life that way. So the other thing that I'm hoping still before sometime in the next few weeks is to be able to do some jerky, and jerky comes out real, real good in the sun oven, but it does take about 12 hours, so it takes about almost a day and a half to do jerky in the sun oven. Again, you just cut it into slices, you put it in the sun oven, and that you want to dry generally about 150 degrees, and it takes about 12 hours. But what's nice in the sun oven is that, and that I have to do outside because my wife doesn't like the smell, and so she won't do it inside with the electric dehydrator. So I do it outside with the sun oven to keep the smell outside. And what's nice with the jerky is that if you get to the end of the day and it's not done, which it won't be the first day, you can just close the sun oven up like you would for cooking. That forms an airtight seal and traps the air inside, preserves it overnight, keeps bugs out of overnight, and then you're able to put it back out the next day and finish the drying of the jerky.
And then in a grid down type scenario where we would lose power, food preservation is something that's going to be important. You can't really can with the sun oven, but what you could do, and I've heard you mention it when we did our webinar last week, and we'll have a link to that so folks will be able to go back and listen to the whole thing. As you mentioned, that you can cook in a mason jar. So I would assume that, you know, when you get something hot in a mason jar and you screw the lid down, when it cools, it'll pop and it'll make a temporary seal, even with the old lid. I suppose that's something that you could do to reduce or extend the time for cooked foods in a post-apocalyptic scenario where maybe you didn't eat everything that you made for the day and you wanted to save a little bit for tomorrow or the next day. I suppose that would be a way that would preserve the food a little bit longer for things like leftovers.
Yeah, no, that would be great for leftovers. So now that I frankly hadn't even thought of that, but that is really a good idea. Mm-hmm.
And whatever we store, we've got to be able to cook it. The foundation of my family's food storage program is beans and rice. You know, we live in South Florida, so there's a lot of Spanish influence in the cooking here. Well, we're in Central Florida now, but we lived for a long time in South Florida. And there's still a lot of Spanish influence in the foods here. And we love beans and rice, so we probably eat it a couple of times a week. And so that's one of the reasons that we store it. And another thing that we store is pasta and pasta sauce in the can. The canned pasta sauce isn't necessarily our favorite, but it's certainly something that we can doctor up and eat on a regular basis, even in the good times. But all those things are things that store really, really well, and they're fairly easy to cook. And when we got our sun oven, we made the rice and the beans in the sun oven, and I'm sure we'll probably be making a pasta dish in it soon. But I knew if I can make rice and beans in there, that we'd be in pretty good shape. I was really, really amazed at how fast the beans cook. So, I mean, that's certainly something folks have to think about when they're building up their food storage, is you got to have a way to cook it, right?
Yes, absolutely. And so many people think, well, you know, if you've got butane or propane, that's going to last forever. And the reality is that when it comes to most things you're cooking, if you've got little canisters of butane, I know, for example, in the Y2K time, I went out and bought a dozen cases of butane thinking that it was going to last me indefinitely. And I found that when I actually started to use it on occasion, that I could only make, if I was real lucky, and I was cooking for a family of five then, that each canister would only make about a meal and a half. So it really went a lot faster than I thought it would be. And so having a way to cook is extremely important, which is why the sun oven is such a valuable tool for preparedness, because if you're able to cook in it, and even if you're in an area that doesn't have a lot of sun, the worst areas in the country, still you can use a sun oven on 50% of the days, so that's 50% less fuel you need to store. And it's really important to make sure that you have a plan for cooking, a plan for water, and a plan you know, for your food storage, but all of those work hand in glove, because if you have food and you don't have any way to cook it, it's not going to do you a lot of good.
And then also we've put out bananas, mango trees, and apple trees. So I'm hoping once those start producing, all of those should dehydrate pretty well in the sun oven, right?
Yes, those will dehydrate real, real well in the sun oven.
And then my wife's perfecting her bread recipe, so we're going to be trying that out in the sun oven. And can you give us a little tip for getting your bread to brown in the sun oven?
Sure. In the sun oven, what you want to do when you put it in, just take a spray bottle and spray a light mist of water just before putting it into the sun oven, and you find your bread will brown perfectly. And it is important when you do bake bread in the sun oven that you don't raise it as high as you do when you raise it in a regular oven. If you're going to bake bread in the sun oven, we suggest you raise it when you're proofing it, just let it raise so it's about a half to three-quarters of an inch below the top of the bread pan. And because if you raise it to its full height, with the even heat in the sun oven, there's going to be a temperature drop and raise. Your bread's probably going to over-raise and fall. So that's why it's important not to raise it too high before you put it in, and you'll find it will raise to just the right height. And by spraying the water, you get a nice brown crust.
And are there any other projects that you're trying to get covered before Shemitah?
Right now what we're doing, as I mentioned, is we're looking at what you might consider luxury items, but we're just looking at personal items. My wife and I have decided, well, what are the things we really, there's a lot of things you can live without. You can live without toothpaste, but you'd rather have it. So we're going through and just looking at all of the things that we would be uncomfortable not using. We're actually keeping a list of it, and then we're planning to go out next week and buy, just load up a whole lot of stuff. We're going to get a 3-month supply of all of the kinds of things. I mean, I have things like deodorant and toothpaste and mouthwash on my list. My wife added toilet paper, and we're just going through a whole lot of different simple things, but things that we just prefer not to be without, so that we can be ready. And then if the Lord spares us and we really don't need it for that, then we'll just save money on it for the next several months after that and not have to buy it. So it's really won't be a major thing if we wind up with having a problem.
Yeah, and
not having a problem, I should say.
Yeah, and toilet paper, you're always going to use that. So
exactly.
Why not get 3 months or 6 months or a year if you've got a place to store it? And that's one of the things that you can keep in an attic, because it doesn't matter if it gets hot. So even if you've got some storage space in a garage or a shed or an attic or wherever, why not go ahead and get it? Because now you have it, and if you can catch it on sale and then just go and scoop up a whole lot at one time in a sale, and because if you're saving money and not buying toilet paper, who knows? You may may be the only thing the Federal Reserve note is good for after Shemitah anyway. and you'll real
very true.
And it won't be nearly as good as a roll of Charmin.
That's for sure.
And Paul, you've got a really great deal for Prepper Recon listeners right now. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, we have the sun oven. If they do watch right now, they can see the replay of the webinar that we recorded last week. And we put together a whole package. It includes the sun oven. It includes a set of stackable pots and allows you to make two different things at the same time in those pots. And you have still room to use mason jars to cook side dishes with it, but the pots are included. It includes bread pans. It includes a dehydrating kit, which is 3 racks and a roll of parchment paper. It includes a water pasteurization indicator, so you can pasteurize water, which is a lot faster than boiling it. It includes a backup that you can use if it is cloudy or rainy, that we call a cloudy day cube stove, which can be used with 7 different fuels, and that it includes a dozen fuel disc fire starters. They're really simple discs, but you can cook a whole meal with one disc. You can break it into pieces and start 5 or 6 fires with each one. And that package is available at a 30% discount through the end of August. But the only way people can get to it is through the link that you've got to the webinar package. And if they watch the webinar or they just click the button on the webinar page on that link, they can, it'll take them to a page from on our website that they can look at, and that will give them the discount of take them to a discount that's just for Prepper Recon readers to take advantage of. But that's only going to be good now until the end of the month, until August 31st.
And Paul, one last thing before we let you go. I know there's folks out there that are, you know, they're going to be watching Shemitah very closely, and they're going to be staying up and monitoring Drudge Report and monitoring the CNBC and monitoring all the different news outlets, and probably checking in to see what's going on Prepper Recon. And if something happens, then they've already figured out what they're going to buy, and they're going to try to buy it all at once. And I don't know if that's going to work for everybody, because one of the things that we've been buying, we've found some really good long term. We buy a lot of stuff just from the regular grocery, like I mentioned, rice and beans and pasta sauce in the can, and the dried fruits and that you can get that in the little packages, dried bananas and dried pineapple and dried mango and dried papaya and that kind of thing. And one of the things that we did, you can't find in the regular store, but we found really good deals in Walmart for Augustin Farms long-term storage food, and they just ship it straight to your door, $35 or more. They ship free, and we've got wheat from there, and we got oatmeal from there, and the long-term storage milk and the cheese powder and some soup mixes and a lot of those types of things. And the Quick Oats, when we bought them, and we're talking about like a week ago or 2 weeks ago, were about I think they were $15.88, and they're $22.54 right now. So that's a really, really big jump in a couple of weeks. So I suspect that has to do with demand, and I suspect that a lot of folks are going to be buying stuff, and the folks that think that they're going to go get it last minute are going to be the same. They're going to be in the same position that people down here in Florida, and they wait until there's a named storm, and they wait until they're in the cone of death, and then they go to the grocery store, and you know what they get? They get plastic forks and cat litter. And and even, I don't care, you could have 10 Sun Ovens, and you're not going to make a very good meal out of plastic forks and cat litter.
No, absolutely. I mean, it is waiting to the last minute. I mean, we've seen the sales of Sun Ovens since May. Well, we're well over 100% increase. I used to, in April, I had 4 people making Sun Ovens. Now we have 20 people making Sun Ovens, and we're frankly getting further behind as opposed to further ahead. So with anything you're getting, the longer you wait, the less of a chance that you're going to get it. And we're doing everything we can to stay up with production, but it's snowballing in the demand that is there. And I see the same thing with, as you said, with food items. And I think there's going to be a major change. And if you look at what happened, having watched very closely what happened in 2001 and 2008, keep in mind, number one, that the Hebrew day starts at sundown. So it's probably more our Monday the 14th that people should be watching and looking at where things are at. And there will be indicators that will happen that day, but it will be over the next 30 to 60 days that you'll start to see the snowballing effect in a lot of areas. So I think some people with Y2K, for example, people got to midnight on New Year's Eve in 1999 and said, okay, we made it past that and it was over. I don't think this is that kind of situation. So I think it is important to keep that in mind. And if there's nothing that appears out of the ordinary on the 14th, look closely, because there could be effects of that will occur over a long period of time.
Great advice. Paul, thanks so much for taking time to come on the show.
Great to be with you. Thanks a lot. God bless.
God bless.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.